You've just tuned into Beyond Your Past, part of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Welcome back to Beyond Your Past, the podcast that focuses on inspiring you to move forward from what's been holding you back in life. Each week, we talk with clinicians, coaches, mental health advocates, and those who've overcome tremendous odds and now use their journey to encourage you throughout yours. I'm Matt Pappas, certified coach and NLP master practitioner, alongside Joanne Suppressi, author, certified coach, and hypnotherapist. In addition to talking with amazing guests on the show, we share practical tips and insightful strategies that empower and encourage you to break free from anxiety, self-doubt, and the negative mindsets that keep you stuck. This is your place to feel validated and encouraged as you take your life back and live free from your past. Greetings, friend, and welcome back to the podcast. Before we get started, we want to pause and just thank a couple of incredible organizations. INLP Center, offering world-class online neurolinguistic programming and life coach training to people in over 70 countries. If you've ever considered becoming a coach or simply want more information on their programs, just head over to inlpcenter.org. And to Daily Recovery Support, interactive daily group calls in a safe atmosphere for survivors of complex trauma, equipping you with the skills and information you can use every single day in your healing journey. Learn more about this affordable resource and get signed up at cptsdfoundation.org. And a special thank you to you. We appreciate you listening to the podcast and making us part of your weekly podcast playlist. You are the reason we do this show, and we wouldn't be here without you. Please consider sharing this episode with one person who might find it helpful. We would definitely appreciate that. So today we're talking with spiritual coach, healer, author, and survivor, Karen Cesario Rizzo. Karen shares some of her story of surviving abuse at the hands of her father when she was young, and how living through those experiences and subsequent healing journey led her to a point of realizing she had gifts of being a clairvoyant. Karen talks with us about how she came to a breaking point and got down on her knees and cried out for help. That breaking point opened her up to a new world, and she's been using her gifts to not only continue her own journey, but also now in working with clients, writing books, and speaking publicly to help inspire and encourage others. We discuss the importance of prayer and how there's no one right way to pray. We talk about working through the shame, blame, and victimization that comes with being a survivor, and how our life can change dramatically when we see ourselves through the eyes of love. Karen believes that we all have the ability to talk with angels and receive the help they offer. We only need to ask and develop those gifts. Her story is inspiring, and as you listen, you'll hear her passion shine through as she encourages you through her story and insight. We had a wonderful time chatting with Karen Cesario Rizzo, so let's join that chat starting right now. So, hey, Karen, welcome to Beyond Your Past. It's Matt and Joanne. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure to talk with you. We are so excited to have you on the show to learn about your book and your work and your story and all of that awesome stuff. But before we get into all that, if you want to take a second to say hello, feel free.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm really excited to be here. I have a lot of information I would like to share, how I came back from my past and how everybody can do the same. You're not alone. I can tell you that. You're not alone.
Awesome. Okay. Well, how about if we just start out and you can share a little bit about your story and we will go from there.
Sure. So like many, not alone, I had a lot of crap in my childhood. I had some pain. My mother passed away when I was 5 years old, and about the age of seven, my father began molesting me. And, it's a hard thing when you're 7 years old in the 60s and there's nobody to talk to. In those days, there was no helpline. There was no Oprah. The police department, everything was family matters. I come from a very large Italian family. These were family secrets, as many, many of us know. So I prayed a lot. I'm born and raised Catholic, but I really didn't feel connected to any religion. But I don't know why. I just had this connection with God, whatever that means, angels. At a very young age, I just started praying, and I started praying to my mom, you know, kind of, why did you leave us and why did you leave me here with this? And my father was an alcoholic. So, it fuels a lot of the things that, you know, that went on in my life. So I will tell you what happened is I began to, I believe I opened a communication with the other side, and I can feel, as many of us do, I could feel my mother with me, and I saw angels around, and I felt that I had, that I wasn't alone. That's the best I can explain it, because in those days, you couldn't talk to anybody. I did have a stepmother and I did have brothers, but again, you nobody would believe you. Nobody wanted to talk about these things. Everybody would kind of, you know, shut those communications down. So I relied on my mother, you know, on the other side, and I relied on these angels to give me courage and strength and to fight my father, which I did. I believe that we are never alone, and that we do have so many from not just this side, but the other side that are rooting for us and helping us. Granted, there's not a lot they can do, you know, about the actual abuse, but they do help you get through it. I mean, we all have access to this energy. So I, you know, as many of us do, I ended up taking this pain, this shame with me to my adulthood. And it was reflected in my relationships and in my marriage, and, you know, had three children, got divorced. And I, at that time, I had shut down this communication and just kind of thought I can handle it on my own. And, you know, it came to a point in my life where I just knew that I had to open up that communication again and get help for this, because it really was messing up my life. Even though, you know, we hold these secrets in, but what they do to us while we're holding them in is, you know, incomprehensible, the damage that it can do to you, how it defines you, how you feel that it defines you, because obviously it doesn't define you, but you begin to just define yourself for that. And then you begin to wonder, what was my part in this, and what could I have done better, and what should I have done that? So it's not just about coming to terms with the abuser, but it's about coming to terms with yourself and the relationships around you. And why didn't my stepmother do anything? Why didn't my brother? So there's just a lot of that pain that you hold inside is really never held that deep. It's always at the surface. So that's kind of where I was in my life when I knew that I needed to really get past this and figure out how to heal from this and how to move forward. It's a lot, huh?
Yeah, that's a very intense story. I could only imagine what it felt like for you to live through that. You know, a lot of people, they isolate themselves because they don't want to talk to anybody, but you really didn't have anybody to talk to.
Right.
You know, in schools, they probably didn't even have like sexual abuse awareness classes in school, I would assume, right?
Not these are the days, you know, I'm pushing 60. I'll be 60 in a couple of months. So you can imagine the years I went to school. Those are the days where the teachers made fun of you and they were able to, you know, hit you with a paddle. I mean, it was not, nobody wanted to hear your story. Again, if I were to call the police didn't do anything. These were private matters in those days. And so the betrayal just doubles and triples and multiplies. You just feel betrayed by everybody, by the world.
So,
and through this, may I add, I developed, of course, an eating disorder. So then I had that pain and shame and that secret to hide, one secret on top of another secret. Just pile them all on.
Yeah, you know, that is a very common thing that people do. You know, they keep their abuse a secret, then they create other secrets, like you said, with your eating disorder. And I
right.
think our listeners are going to really benefit from listening to you, because
right.
a lot of them have gone through the same thing. So I'm really grateful that you are sharing your story with us.
As am I,
you know,
truly.
Yeah, I mean, I could feel it inside you, you know, you know how much it was hurtful for you and how painful it was. And it takes a lot of courage to speak about it, you know, and it's really wonderful that you are for it can encourage and help so many people as well as yourself. You know,
yep.
you haven't been able to speak about it for, you know, it seems like at least two decades of your life. Can you share with us what it was like when you finally spoke to somebody about your abuse and about your secrets? How did that feel and what was that like?
I knew that. So again, my psychic awareness had been increasing, and then I shut it down for a long time. I didn't want to, you know, I don't know if I did. I don't believe that I ever stopped believing, but I kept thinking that I maybe this wasn't I wasn't ready. I can just say that probably I wasn't ready. So I got divorced. I had three kids, and my oldest started. He had the psychic awareness too, but he and when you're young and you have these abilities, it's really kind of scary. And I believe that he started shutting these voices out as well. And you know, he started dealing. You know, had some addiction issues, much as I did, and he had some other addictions. And so I was just at a place in my life. I had lost a job, 25 years. I was laid off. And I just had not, I just knew that the universe wanted to put me on a different path. And part of that was, listen, lady, you need to figure out your crap. You need to get to the bottom of this, because no job, no money, no traveling is ever going to, you know, is going to replace what you feel is missing in you. And then had I passed this to my son, I felt horrible, like that I wasn't honest about my past and how I could have helped my own children. So we literally had a huge issue with my son, and I was broken, and I literally threw myself on my knees, threw myself on the bed and fell on my knees and asked for help. And when I did, you know, angels are out there. They're always there to help you, but they really can't help you if you don't ask. And so I just said, I am ready, man. Take this and help me with this. And then I started experiencing more heightened like energy around me. Things started happening. Lights started flashing. Like they were all kind of like, well, we're here and we're going to help you through this. And I went to counseling, and I went to counseling for 9 months. And I swear by counseling, somebody that you can trust and somebody that you can say anything to. And so I did. And as I went through counseling and, you know, pulled that Band-Aid off this pus infected wound in my body, every time I would deal with one issue, whether it be a week or 2 weeks, I would get help with why I felt this way about a certain issue. You know, you have to dig deep, and the hard part is digging deep. It's so painful. You know, those are places you don't want to go and things you don't want to admit, most of all to yourself. But as I peeled off each layer of pain, I found that I was more awakened, you know, like everybody. I just, things just looked differently. I could hear clearer. And again, my psychic awareness started ascending as well. And say, like I was at my counselor's office and she would say, well, why do you think you feel this way about, I don't know, whatever the subject was of the week. And I, if I couldn't pin it down, I would say, you know what, I'm going to figure it out. And I will come back next week with an answer. And so I would go home and light a candle and just pray. And again, I don't mean praying as we normally know, you know, what our preconceived notions of praying is, but I would just ask, you know, in any way you can, just ask. And so I would light a candle and I would just ask. And I would say, why do I feel this way about blah, 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 whatever it was. And there would, the answer would be, either I would feel a pull to a book or something. And there was the answer. I felt like that, you know, I dug deep enough that I got to like the gold, the prize at the end of this work. So I would run back to my counselor and I would say, oh, guess what? I found out why I feel this way about this. And she would just be blown away. And I started telling her about my psychic awareness, and she was very open to it. But I did that for 9 months. You can imagine what I uncovered in 9 months. But at the same time, I knew that every time I did that, I was feeling lighter and happier. And all of a sudden, the sun looked different. I know, corny as this sounds, the stars at night looked different. Like everything looked different. I just saw things in a different light. I no longer felt like I was the victim, that it was, you know, poor me. I, you know, put a lid on the pity parties. And I just started working towards getting better. And the more, the more I would figure out, the more heightened my own awareness and my own psychic abilities came. I was able to communicate past my wildest dreams, the vibrations around me, because I changed the vibration around me, within me and around me, and therefore more vibrations I had at my disposal, almost like a radio station where I didn't have access to those channels. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I didn't know I had that channel. It was, I'm telling you, amazing. Amazing. And it's all true. I'm telling you, as corny as this sounds, it is 100% true. Sounds far-fetched, but it's true.
I think something you mentioned that I wanted to comment on first before I get into my other question was when you mentioned about praying in your own way, right? And I think a lot of times we view prayer like, you know, you have to be perhaps in a church or a synagogue or you know, a house of worship, or you have to be, you know, dressed up, or you have to be somewhere doing something. And I'm like, you know what? When I pray, I could be driving, I could be doing the dishes, I could be out walking, you know, and as you mentioned, so I think it bears just kind of a nice little friendly reminder that, you know, whoever you pray to, whatever your higher power is, what you look like or where you're at or what state you're in, just be honest and cry out and ask for help. And I think that's really, you know, the message. One of the messages you're sharing is just you are just vulnerable and real and like, look, I don't know what's going on. I need help. And that kind of brings me, maybe if you can share a little bit about the power of that, because that really is something where when we realize we just come as we are, regardless of who we're praying to, that's pretty amazing.
Right. And I will tell you a lot of the like you say, I hesitate to use the word pray, but it's a beautiful word. So why not? Right. But it's really just asking for help. You can ask for help when you're sitting in a forest preserve under a tree. You can imagine the amazing energies and vibrations that are available to you, the communication. You could, driving is a great, great way to communicate. It's a great way to ask for help. All you gotta do is turn off that radio. Turn off the radio and have what I do is I have staff meetings in the morning. I go, okay, here's the thing, guys. Here's what I need to work on. Here's what bothered me, blah, blah, blah. And then we go through the day. And then after work, I do the same thing. I kind of go through a rundown of the day and I go, okay, help me understand what that was about. Help me understand what that was about. So it's just opening up like, just the communication to teachers. Really, you will get the answers if you ask, but if you do not ask, they cannot help you, but the intent has to be pure. You have to, like you say, get to that place of total vulnerability, total honesty, and be ready for whatever the universe has to tell you, your higher power, your source. Just be ready for it and be ready to accept what they tell you, because that's where the wealth of information is the truth. They'll just hit you with the truth. Even though sometimes it hurts and it knocks you on your butt, that part of it is, I would not trade it for anything, the truth. They hit you right in the heart with it. They hit you in the gut with it. And I would accept it and make it part of my healing. And I would use it to my best advantage to heal. Just, you know, well, thank you for that. But what the heck was that about? But thank you for that, because now I know what you wanted me to do with that information that I thought was so painful. Makes sense, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it does totally. And I mean, I have a question about something else, but I want to stick on this for just a second of when you cry out and ask for help and you're like, I am just so stuck. I'm confused. I don't know what's going on. The answer may not want to be what you hear or you know, what you want to hear.
Sure.
Right. For I mean, like, I can't tell you how many times I pray and I'm like, okay, give me an answer. And after some amount of time, whatever, I get it. And I'm like, well, that's not really what I wanted you to tell me. Right. But I mean, it may be the truth,
exactly.
But you know, couldn't you tell me something else?
Well, they give you the truth. And as hard as it is, if you really want to move past this, you got to go through the hard stuff. They're not going to soften it for you, even though we are greatly loved, deeply loved by source, by God, however you want to frame a higher power. We are so deeply loved. And when we can feel that their answers are coming from that place of love, you can't deny it. You know, you just take it like a parent. You know, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to take this wrong, but this is the truth. The truth is always the best. And it's very personal. It's very personal. It's really hard. But at the same time, why would you, you know, to deny that truth is to not deny yourself God's greatest gift is joy and to love yourself.
I love it. That's amazing. Everything you're saying is so profound. It is. In regards to, and this is fascinating to me because I know, because I admittedly know very little about it, but when you realize that you had gifts in terms of an awareness of, you know, psychic awareness, I guess, as you mentioned, what was it like when you started to realize you had it? I mean, was it empowering? Was it scary? Was it like, oh my God, what is this? Or was it something maybe you always felt but weren't sure what it was? Just kind of take us down that path of discovering that you had these abilities or this awareness.
Absolutely. So I believe everybody has these abilities to a point. It's just, do you want to accept it and do you want to grow them? But I realized that I had them. But again, I didn't really know that I was any different from anybody else. I was a little girl, you know, probably, like I said, I started probably praying and opening things up around 7. But I would see things. I would hear my name being called. And I knew that it was my mother. And I could just hear, and it wasn't scary. It wasn't like, boo, it wasn't like that. It was just like, Karen, I would just hear my name being called. And I would ask my stepmother, what are you calling me for? And she would say, Care, I did not call you. This was on for years, but I was never like, oh my God, someone's calling me, someone's watching me. I felt guided. It's something that I always felt, but I really thought everybody had this. When I would go to bed at night and I would pray, I would see things. I would see angels. I would see colors. I would see things in my room. I was never afraid. I always felt that I was being protected, but I really did think everybody has this, which everybody really does. And I feel that I accepted it, was never afraid of it. I wasn't afraid because I was very strong. So what I prayed for too was strength, you know, strength. And they just gave me what I needed. Did I know what they were giving me? No, I just knew that I felt different, that I didn't feel afraid, that it was comforting to me. And I think that's what a lot of people feel when they pray. They, you know, for whatever, wherever they pray, they feel comfort, right? And you have to go by what you feel. And I just felt different. But then as years went on, I would experience more and I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Or did that really happen? And then I started reading books like by James Van Prague and all of this, you know, different mediums. And I was like, wait a minute. That happens to me all the time. That happens to me all the time. And I started when I finally decided to accept this gift and be open to what they wanted me to know and developing it. I read everything I could and, you know, how to develop it. And first of all, you got to get rid of all that crap. Once I got rid of it, everything started happening. So I really did. I read a lot. I listened to a lot of YouTube, just a lot from other people who started developing. I was just learning as much as I can from others.
Karen, I love how you mm-hmm. bring out the fact that, you know, you had to get rid of your stuff by talking about it in therapy, you know, clearing the baggage, moving beyond from the horrible things that happened to you in your past, getting the stuff out of your mind is what opened you up. And it's such an important part of tapping into the guides and tapping into receiving those connections. And your story is like the perfect example.
As I was ascending and as I was working so hard, they were so happy. I cannot tell you how many guides came in. They sent so many. And I kept telling my counselor, you'll never believe what happened. And she's like, okay. You know, she was a little like, all right. But I knew, and I kept a journal. And these are things that nobody else saw but me at the time. You know, as time went on, other people would see them when they were with me, or I would go to someone's house. And when I left, things would happen there. So it's just about opening up those channels. And again, shame, pain, blame, victimization, each one of those separately are horrendous and so hard to get rid of. But you can imagine how much you're rewarded by the universe when you let it go. And that's so hard. Like, why was I mad at my brothers all these years? And how much longer am I going to be mad at my brothers? And why do I feel I don't deserve this? And how much longer do I think I don't deserve this? Like, I was at a point where I was like, that is it, man. Send me everybody you have. I am freaking serious about this. And that's what happened. They were like, oh, she is so serious. Send her everybody. And they knew, because they knew that I'm, you can see how passionate I am, that I'm a fighter. They're like, this girl's going to do it for us. This girl's going to help millions. And I will tell you, I wrote my first book before the Me Too movement. Before. And I thought, people don't want to talk about sexual abuse. They don't want to talk about their secrets. Nobody wants to talk about this. Who wants to talk about this? And then several years ago, right, everything started coming out with the Me Too movement. And I thought, that my story, first of all, I always knew I was going to write a book since I was a little girl. Was I a writer? Kind of, really. I wrote letters to my friends, you know, back in the 70s. But I knew that I would write my story. But I didn't know, well, what am I going to write about? Just all the crap I've been through? La, 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 big deal. I knew once I healed, once I was on the other side of this, that's where my story was. It wasn't just poor me. Guess what happened to me? You're never going to believe what my dad did when I was little. I knew that my story was in the healing. that's where I can help people. It was on the other side of it and to help pull each one through.
Karen, your story becomes more and more beautiful. You know, the more you talk, the more you share, it just becomes so enlightening. And you are doing so many amazing things, and it's because of all of your hard work. It's unfortunate you had to suffer through all of those years of hell. And but the work that you've done, you know, you've tapped into this amazing energy, into this amazing gift.
And I will tell you, my faith is unshakable today. It's unshakable because even though not everybody knows everything that happened in my childhood, nor should they, for what? Like, big deal. What, do I really want to write a Daddy Dearest book? No. You know, that was not my intent when I wrote my book, and I didn't. I was very respectful, even though my father had died many decades ago. My father actually took his own life in 1986. So with that, coming out with my story after that, I knew it was going to hurt my family, but I had already, my family knew that I was in a journey of healing, not on pointing fingers and not on blame. I wasn't going to blame anybody. I was going to do this book in the right way, the way that God intended, and my angels came and helped me when I, you know, I wrote many chapters in this book, and I only dedicated one to the actual abuse, and I went around it. I was so careful. And before I wrote it, I remember asking my guides, because I have archangels around me all the time, and Archangel Gabriel, he comes when people write. And so I said, somebody better help me, man, with this chapter, because I want to be honest, but I don't want to, this isn't about Mommy Dearest story. This is not about that. And they just helped me. And, you know, then I knew that my brothers were going to read it, my aunts and uncle. Think about it. My teachers, my friends from grammar school. And I just knew that I wanted to be as honest as I could, but as respectful as I could, if that makes sense. I wasn't going to bash my dad. You know, he was, you know, part of this journey is because my father kept coming to me. Like I say, he died many years ago, but he kept coming to me in my dreams. First of all, he would come to me. You know, sometimes in movies you see when somebody is haunted by a certain person, they see their face everywhere. I used to see my father's face everywhere. Literally, I would be at a stoplight and I'd look in the rearview mirror and the person behind me was my dad's face. It would be all the time. And I knew that it was my father was trying to communicate with me. Then he would come in my dreams. And in my dreams, he was sober and he was the dad that I always wanted. And I would say to him in my dream, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. You're dead. And he would leave. But through this, I write this chapter about what happened in the 30-day period and how this all came about. It was my father who was trying to come through to me because he knew that he was responsible for the pain and he was going to help me with the healing. So crazy as it sounds, my father really was really instrumental on moving me forward. And because he knew I was such a fighter because I was always fighting with him, he gave me this courage and this passion that I have right now that you hear in my voice to help others. And he's like, she's such a big mouth. She's going to spread the word, but she's going to do it with empathy and compassion. And I'm not going to take him down or any of my family members in the meantime. It's going to be truly from a place of healing.
Yeah, the passion in your voice and in your story just comes shining through. And we definitely want to get to your book here before we wrap it up. But I wanted to ask you just if you could talk for a little bit yet on something you mentioned a few minutes ago that really just hit home with me. And that's being able to find a way to let this go. And the reason I say that is that so oftentimes, whenever we come to a point where we're ready to let something go, to move on, you know, we've worked through it, it doesn't control us anymore. I think sometimes we get into this notion that letting it go means that we're avoiding it, or that worse yet, that maybe we approved of it and we're just ignoring it, right? And so I think when you work with a therapist or a counselor or a coach and you open yourself up to all these wounds and then they start to heal and you feel empowered, you've got all these skills and all this awareness now. When you're able to get to a point of letting something go, or whatever way you want to call that, it doesn't mean that you approved of it or that you are just ignoring it. It means that you're not letting it control you anymore. You know, I think if you can maybe talk about the importance of that, because I know both Joanne and I with our clients and everything we talk about is, you know, the whole idea of radical acceptance. You let that stuff go. That person, those events don't control or define who you are anymore. You are your own person.
Absolutely. And the letting it go, again, like you say, it does not mean that I'm okay with it. I'm just going to let go of the pain and holding it because I don't have control over it anymore. The only thing I have control of is letting that weight go. And it's like a weight. Think of like a hot air balloon. You know, if you want to fly and you want to see all the wonderful things that this world has to offer, but there's a weight holding you down, what is the first thing you do before you take off? You let go of those weights. I knew that holding on to the pain was not hurting my father. He's dead. You know, who's it hurting? Only me. It was only hauling me back from all the wonderful things I wanted to do. Letting it go enabled me to write my story and write another story. It enables me to get up in a group and start to speak to others because I let it go. It doesn't mean that I approved it or I, you know, forget it. I'm gonna let it go. I dealt with it, and that was my responsibility. I got as far as I can go in the healing. I forgave myself, gave it to God. I know how hard that is to say, oh, you have to just give it to God. And if you can't, then you ask for help. Any given time, you go, I cannot let go of this situation, this thought. Help me. And they will help you. As soon as you ask, boom, all of a sudden you will feel lighter and you'll go, well, that's strange. It doesn't bother me anymore. How come yesterday I was so upset about this subject or this, you know, situation? And today it's not even there because you asked for help and they release you of it. They assist you in releasing it. But you have to ask. The intent has to be, look, I really don't want this anymore. It's holding me down. Tell me what else I need to do. And they might say, well, you need to do another step. You need to do this before we can help you release it. Make this phone call, whatever. And then I go, okay, I will do anything you say. The next day, I'm like, well, how come that doesn't bother me anymore? How come when I'm upset, I'm not running to eat this anymore? When did that change? It's a shift in vibration. You're not aligned anymore with that same vibration. It's really the law of attraction. It's really, you know, it's not magic, but it's the law of attraction. Whatever you think about, you become. It's whatever you put out there comes right back. So when a thought would come into my mind that I didn't want or that I thought I was holding on to, I would just release it or I would turn the thought. Next thing you know, the thoughts were not attracted to me anymore. I changed the vibration. So they were like, whoop, she's not going to have any of this. We better go to someone else. Literally, you repel that. You know, that's not a vibration that you're in tune with anymore. Does that make sense?
Absolutely does make sense. No, I completely understand. And the information you're sharing is so valuable for our listeners. And I was really curious to know the response to your book. Like, what happened after your book was published? How did your family respond? How did other people respond after they read it?
Well, as you can imagine, there was a lot of, I think, like I say, I come from a large Italian family. The older generation who are now crossed over, but when they were alive, they, you know, of course, they didn't want to talk about it. But, you know, people were kind of whispering about it. But I have to say my brothers were very supportive. And my friends, again, you know, courageous and this and that. But again, it wasn't for any other reason is to help others. And as many people who were like friends from high school, some did contact me and say, you know, we remember when you were a kid and now this makes sense. I remember when I came over, how your dad was like, and I believe that it helped so many. And then I went to a high school reunion and some people were like, ooh, you know, like they didn't know what to do, but I hold my head up and I shine like a frickin' star in the sky. You can imagine my light, how bright it is now. And what I hope is for them to see that light and to not see that the darkness or the fear, like that's all gone. And all I want to do is, I always say, just read it with an open mind. And if when you're ready to read it, if you're not ready to read it, you know, I gave it to my nieces and nephews and said the same thing. I know it might be a little uncomfortable to know the truth, but it's about not repeating cycles and about forgiveness and about non-judgment. As crappy as it was, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I feel that I have a bigger calling. I have a bigger cause now. And I was screaming from the rooftops, if anybody wants help, I'm here with my truth, you know, hard as it is.
Karen, your story is incredible. And you have the one book out now, but you're writing a second book. Is that right?
No, I have two books out. The first book is called Are You Living Your Life or Surviving Your Past? A medium story of the ascension of her gifts through the healing of her past. And it chronicles exactly how it all happened, the healing. just talks a little bit about when I was a kid, and then it ends when my gifts were opening up, I forgave my father. And the stories in there, they're all personal stories, tons of stories about energy and angels and miracles, and they're all true stories. That's the great part. They're all based on true stories. Whether people want to believe it or not, they're all true stories. They're all things that actually happened. The second book is called Living in the Light, True and Amazing Stories of Angel Encounters and Miracles. And that book simply picks up when the first one left off. And it, again, it's full of true stories after my healing and when I started living my life through in the light compared to the darkness. Just how different things happen and how my gifts ascended more and different things that I experienced and everyday problems, how I would, look for the more spiritual solution to every problem has a spiritual solution. We tend to just use our heads and our hearts, but when you lose your gut, your soul, your intuition, it's how anybody can build their intuition. So they're all true stories, all miracles, all to help others just live their life in the light and what can happen when you live in the light. Yes. So the books are on Amazon. They're under my author name is Karen Cesario Rizzo, and I have a website, KarenCesarioRizzo.com, and my email address, if anybody wants to contact me, the same, KarenCesarioRizzo @gmail.com. I'd love to, again, talk to anybody if anybody needs. Right now, so I do have, a day job that pays the bills and has my insurance and everything, but my passion, you can imagine, is a spiritual life coach. And again, you don't have to have gifts. You could not believe in religion. It doesn't really matter. This is about getting in touch with your inner self. It's about being awakened and just seeing your life through different eyes. The eyes of love, the eyes of light. As corny as it sounds, I'm telling you, this works.
Incredible. Thanks so much, Karen. Yep. Your message is amazing. We appreciate you coming on the show and just sharing your story, your wisdom, your passion with us. It's amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me again.
Yeah. Thank you, Karen. Your story was incredible and I think it will inspire many people. So we really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you so much. My pleasure. It's been such a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Beyond Your Past, part of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Information shared on this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. Nothing on this podcast should supersede the direction of a medical doctor or any mental health professional. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite podcasting app and leave us a review. We would sure appreciate it. Also, please consider sharing this episode with someone who may find it helpful. If you would like more information on working with Matt as your coach, just head over to beyondyourpast.com and schedule your free 1-hour chat. If you'd like to learn more about working with Joanne as your coach, please check out joannesuppressi.com and contact her for more information. We're always on the lookout for new guests. If you're interested in joining us on an upcoming episode, just head over to beyondyourpastradio.com and contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Talk to you soon.